Lord, one of my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th hour, Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount South, the 12th hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August 31, 2016, or it is Elu 29, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, In Times Like These. Times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Yahshua, yes, He's the one. This rock is Yahshua, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Yahshua, yes, He's the one. This rock is Yahshua, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips a solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Yahshua, yes, He's the one. This rock is Yahshua, the only one. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Cleanse and purify thyself. We have a whole new series today, and this is very important. I have a book in front of me. It's a health book, How to Recover Your Health, entitled Cleanse and Purify Thyself. Holy Spirit put that on me to just this day, this last day, one day ago, August the 30th, to get my book out. I have a book entitled Cleanse and Purify Thyself, and he says, take it out of your library. You're going to need it, because you're going to do a whole new series on cleanse and purify yourself. It's important for all saints that are going to be sealed. They're going to have full knowledge on how to cleanse and purify ourselves. And I have been reticent and very negligent in pursuing this course, which I have had these books for many, many years. I should have done been 100% well, but when the Holy Spirit speaks and tell you this is time to do it now, then you move forward. All right, having said all of that, we're going to go to our prayer thought. Now, this Cleanse and Purify Thyself book is by Richard Anderson, N.D. and N.M.D. He's a naturopathic doctor and a lecturer at a college on nutrition. He's world traveled. He's written several books. I've had two of his books. I got this number two, Cleanse and Purify Yourself. I have the number one somewhere. But anyway, he has two main books. We're going to go through a prayer thought. It's going to be taken from John chapter 5. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Yahshua went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now I want to say that Yahweh gave me this prayer thought, John chapter 5, before he ever spoke to me and told me to get the book out of my library on Cleanse and Purify Thyself. After I'd got through reading this, then that's what he told me. So now let's go ahead. John chapter 5 verse 4. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And Yahshua saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that state. In that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Now I want to tell you what attracted me to this John chapter 5. It was the word case, C-A-S-E. I put that in my Strong Concordance and clicked on it and pulled it up, and one of the words case was in this chapter, John chapter 5. And I had another reason for clicking on that word case, C-A-S-E. But anyway, as it led me to John chapter 5. When Yahshua saw him lie and knew that he had been there a long time in that case, C-A-S-E, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? He asked him the question. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Yahshua saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Now, all the man showed his willingness to be obedient to the healing water. He'd been there 38 years. He showed his willingness for 38 years. And Yahshua asked him, wilt thou be made whole? And the man told him why he hadn't already been made whole, because he can't get nobody to help him into the water when there's trouble. And Yahshua just immediately healed the man. Instantly he healed the man. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wished not who it was. For Yahshua had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. After Yahshua findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest your worst sin come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Yeshua which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Yeshua and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now, isn't that amazing? These Pharisees proved that they were controlled and motivated by another sinister evil, and that was Satan. That man's name is Lucifer Satan, the old dragon. And Yahshua answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that Elohim was his father, making himself equal with Yahweh. All right. Then answered Yahshua and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, there also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth himself, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son." Did you get that? The Father judges no man. The Father don't judge anyone, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Yahweh, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now get this. It has mentioned twice that because he is the Son also, because he also is the Son of Man. He's not only the Son of the Father in heaven, his Father, Yahweh, but he's also the Son of Man. Okay, it says so right there. That's verse 22, "For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Then he goes on and says in verse 23, "He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him." Then in verse 27 it says, "And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Now, did you get that? All that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Not the wicked. Only the righteous that are in their graves will hear his voice. And shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Oh, okay. I was a little bit ahead of myself there. Yes, all that are in the graves are going to hear his voice. Both righteous and unrighteous. The saints and the wicked. Okay, now we'll read that verse 29 again. And shall come forth they that have done good. Now read verse 28 again. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Huh. It says, all that are in the grave, and that's going to be here in the 12th hour that we're in now, before probation closes. He's gonna call them forth in their grave, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So it looks like they're gonna all be resurrected that are in their graves, both good and evil people. Where is there enough room on this earth to hold all these people? I am of my, verse 30, I am of my own self, do nothing as I hear, I judge. It could very well be that the righteous are going to be resurrected first, here in this hour that we're in now, in this probationary time. I know that's going to happen, otherwise they wouldn't be able to go to heaven, because it says all the righteous from Adam clear down at the end of time are going to be resurrected and go to heaven whenever that final call comes. But the dead are going to hear his voice at the end of the millennium. That's the only way it can be. The unrighteous dead, the wicked, they stay in their graves until another 1,000 years, and then at the end of that 1,000 years, it's Yahshua's voice that calls them from their grave at the end of the 1,000 years. When it comes time for them to hear their final verdict and to be destroyed for the last time. But with the fire coming down from the throne in heaven. No, in the city. I'm from the city, I mean, from the Father's throne. The city is down here. Okay? It says, I am of my own self and do nothing as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is death, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. He is sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye are willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. There's that shape now. There's that word shape. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent him. Him you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That's verse 39. Remember that. Memorize that. John 5:39. And you will not come unto me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of Elohim in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from Yahweh only? Do not think that I will accuse you unto the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writing, how shall you believe my words? Okay, so now, there you have it. Your key is found in the book of Moses. 5 books that he's the author of. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those 5. You understand those 5 books, you'll understand enough to put you on the straight and narrow way, and then you can catch on from there and be there when you need to be. All right, that's the end of our prayer thought there on John chapter 5. Our key words today for our main study, after reading the prayer thought, is the word cleanse, C-L-E-A-N-S-E. It appears 33 times in 32 verses in the KJV. Exodus 29:36, and thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering, for atonement, and thou shalt cleanse the altar, and thou hast made an atonement for it, and thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it. Leviticus 14:49, and he shall take to cleanse the house 2 birds and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. Leviticus 14:52, and he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and with the running water and with the living bird and with the cedar wood and with the hyssop and with the scarlet. Leviticus 16:19, and he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger 7 times and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Leviticus 16:30, for on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Yahweh. Numbers 8:6. Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water and purify upon them. And let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. That's Numbers 8:7. And the one before that was Numbers 8:6. Okay, and then the one before that was Leviticus 16:30. Alright, now in Numbers 8:15, and after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering. And the Levites are purified, and they wash their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Yahweh, and Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. 2 Chronicles 29:15, and they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according unto the commandments of the king by the words of Yahweh to cleanse the house of the Yahweh. 2 Chronicles 29:16. And the priest went into the inner court of the house of the Yahweh to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Yahweh into the court of the house of Yahweh, and the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Nehemiah 13:22, and I command the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my Elohim, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. Psalms 19:12. Who can understand his error? cleanse thou me from secret faults. Okay, Psalm 51:2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You cannot be cleansed and washed thoroughly from your iniquity or your sins if you have a toxified body. All Christians should have a pure body. There is enough information out there that people can avail themselves of to have a complete, whole, toxic-free body. And that's what I'll be promoting from here on in as well. There's a toxic-free body and how to obtain that. I'll give you information every day on my sermons a little bit from somewhere or somebody on what to do for your body. Psalms 119:9. Death, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according unto thy word. Jeremiah 4:11. At that time shall it be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places, and the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to fans. Jeremiah 33:8, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. Ezekiel 36:25, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. You not only have to be cleansed from inside of your toxic body, of all the waste that has accumulated there, but you have to also be cleansed from your mind from serving these here dumb idols out there. Idols that walk and talk, that entertain, that you've got to be entertained with. Ezekiel 37:23. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with the detestable things, nor with any other transgression. And I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim. Ezekiel 39:12. In 7 months shall the house of Israel be barren of them, that they may cleanse the land. Ezekiel 39:14. And they shall sever out men of continual employment passing through the land, to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth, to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. Ezekiel 39:16. And also the name of the city shall be Hamonah. Thus shall they cleanse the land. Ezekiel 43:20. And thou shalt take of the blood thereof, and put it on the four horns of it, and on the four corners of the settle, S-E-T-T-L-E, and up on the border around about. Thus shalt thou cleanse and purge it. Ezekiel 43:22, and on the second day thou shalt offer a kid of the goats without blemish for a sin offering, and they shall cleanse the altar as they did cleanse it with the bullet. Ezekiel 45:18, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, and the first month and the first day of the month thou shalt take a young bullet without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. Okay, we have Joel 3:21. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for Yahweh dwelleth in Zion. Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Okay, so now it says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. How are you going to do this if yourself is sick? If you need healing and cleansing, how are you going to do this to others? You have to be 100% healed and cleansed, completely 100% obedient to all His statutes and judgment. Now, I'm going to turn to you and read to you now at this point a scripture taken from Exodus 15:26. It says that, if I can get there, it says, I believe, it says, and it said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Yahweh, the Elohim, wilt do that which is right in His sight, and wilt give ear unto His commandments and keep all His statutes, oh, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I have I am the Yahweh that healeth thee. Okay. So actually, this is Yahshua talking here. Yahshua is the author of the Old and New Testament. He's the one, as I read to you in John chapter 5, he's here on earth representing the Father here on earth. And the Father gave him the same power, He gave him the same authority to do exactly what the Father does and would do. Okay? So now it says in Matthew 23:26, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. There you have it. It says in Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. Now you see why the Pharisees were so against all of that, because they were filthy and unclean inside. Their own bodies were filthy and unclean. How in the world could they ever perceive of doing anything like that when they didn't even care anything about their own bodies to keep their own bodies clean? That's what the parable was all about then, Matthew 23:26. He says, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within. Yeah? Yeah, cleanse your own soul temple from within. The cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. So we're our own worst enemies. We're demanded to cleanse inside of our bodies. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the other. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the other. That's in 2 Corinthians 7:1. Don't forget that. Ephesians 5:26. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. James 4:8. Draw nigh unto Elohim and He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the best of it all right there. We confess our sins. And that's the sins of defiling our bodies as well as what we think and put into our minds and what our eyes behold and see. We see evil, it's going to go right into our memory and our body and our mind. And we're going to pull that memory up and we're going to recall all that evil we have seen with our eyes. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, this would be a good time in your heart right now to confess your sins, right now, in your own mind, and to ask for this cleansing right now, to start moving in your heart. And Yahweh, the Spirit is here to hear you and to receive your request. I know I'm reading this because the Spirit gave me this to read this morning. The first word He gave me was cleansed this morning. And lo and behold, after I read John 5 yesterday afternoon, here sitting at my desk, He says, you have a book entitled Cleanse and Purify Thyself. Now, He got right there in my library looking right at it. He says, your key word is cleanse and purify. So I got this book out of Mr. Anderson. Now, I want to read a little bit about Mr. Anderson. He's a very spiritual man. I don't know what religion he professes. I don't know what church he belongs to. He doesn't say here, but you can almost bet it's a good one if he has to be his own minister and have his own church in his own house. He's got a good pulpit. He's got a good podium. Alright, it says, the dedication, they wrote a dedication. They said, this book is dedicated to Yahweh, the creator, the sustainer, and the source of all life, and to all the sons and daughters of Yahweh who have purified themselves before us and have come back to help us do likewise. Also, to all the strong, wonderful souls who are willing to purify themselves so that they too can become effective instruments in assisting all life everywhere in obtaining the greatest achievement of all, unconditional love for everyone and everything. This book contains information gathered from my many years of research in the medical and health field, along with related experiences in the realm of the mind, emotions, and the unexpected. It reveals experiences that touch the hem of our fullest potential. The purpose of this book is to encourage you to clean yourself out and to cultivate the attitudes and habits that allow you to achieve health and joy. This is not medical advice nor a prescription, just good sense. You clean out your home, you clean out your car, but it is far more important and helpful to your well-being to clean out yourself. To do so involves your consciousness, your mind, emotions, and how they manifest in your body. This book offers powerful tools for cleansing the obstructions that interfere with the natural flow of the greatest and most powerful healing force in existence, the universal energy of love and joy. When this force is fully cultivated within us, it opens us unto unlimited happiness, abundance, health, strength, and peace. Note, to the very best of my ability, every experience recounted in this book is absolutely true and accurate. Alright, let's go now into chapter 1 of this book, Cleanse and Purify Thyself, by Richard Anderson. And it says the first title here of chapter 1 is Universal Remedy, Purification and Love. Accept nothing that is unreasonable. Discard nothing as unreasonable without proper examination. And that's taken from Buddha. Buddha wrote that. Buddha was a good man. When he was alive and in his time, he taught pure health principles. Alright, the real source of health. The real source of health is the divine source. And that source is essentially love. What holds the atom together? Love is far more than a feeling. It is a cohesive power of the universe. That is why when there is love, there is birth, growth, construction, healing, and life. Where love is not, there is destruction, deterioration, decay, and death. Every molecule and every cell is perfect if the feelings encompassing it are love, joy, and delight. Thoughts and feelings Less than love are mutations of the perfect design or the perfect potential. The real cause of disease are negative thoughts and feelings created by a soul who is out of balance indeed. Our earth is a training ground for aspiring souls, and the sure foundations of the perfect health are the positive thoughts and feelings saturated with love, automatically expressed by those who have conquered fear, doubt, and judgment. Exact law rules our world. One of these laws is the infallible law of cause and effect. In the terms of the recorded history, one of the first to teach this law was Buddha. Later, Yahshua Messiah revealed the same truth, and then many others did so, on to Isaac Newton, who declared its scientific recently. Oh boy, I cannot. It's a psychochrononeuroimmunologist. Man, there must be 20 letters in that. There's only 24 letters in the alphabet. Let's see. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 23. 23 letters in that word. Longest word I've ever seen. Candace Pert detailed the scientific processes whereby our thoughts and feelings are potent instruments in the manifestation of specific conditions in our lives. What part of our lives do these conditions apply? Every part of our lives. We can choose to think loving thoughts and come into alignment with the divine order of the universe. The key is to remove the old patterns and their manifestation and replace them with patterns of unconditional love towards everybody and everything. The results of such are unending joy, vibrant health, and even bliss. And achieving this remarkable state of the consciousness is within the reach of every single person on earth who is willing to make the choice to do so. The kind of love I'm talking about is not what is commonly thought of by most people. The Hindus have studied this subject in depth and have identified over 500 different kinds of love. I'm not talking about the love someone has for a delicious meal or the lust one may feel for any physical pleasure. More like the love we have for our children, an unconditional love that sweetens everything in our lives. Imagine the love you feel for your most favorite person, perhaps your mate, parent, or dog. Now imagine how you would feel if you were able to double the intensity of your love. Imagine how you would feel if you could feel that way towards everyone you met, everything you saw, and even every situation you experienced. Now increase it all by 10. Can you imagine this ecstatic bliss this would bring you? Imagine how people, animals, and other life forms would respond to you. Every problem, every ache and pain would be smothered into insignificance by this overwhelming love. And this love is what heals. This is what I'm talking about, and it is within the reach of every intelligent person on this planet. There is a way to allow this to happen, and the main purpose of this book is to give you tools that will help you achieve this incredibly lofty state. It is the only thing that can give us freedom from our own self-created limitations. Two selves, one from mother and the other from father, connect during conception. And thus begins the magic of birth. Contained within these two cells is a divine intelligence that governs all the anatomical and physiological and chemical and psychological processes that produce these incredible bodies. Love is the essence of the divine energy, always contained within that same energy that built our bodies is the same intelligence that knows how to sustain our bodies. Not only that, it automatically purifies, heals, strengthens, protects, and perfects everything that is open unto it. In Jeremiah 33:3 it says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Okay. So, I called on Yahweh yesterday. I said, I need an answer to where we're at now, what we need to do next. And he says, seek to know the worst of your case. So I punched those words in on the computer, and I just punched in seek to know in the Strong Concordance, and here's what I come up with. Seek to know occurs in 6 verses in the scriptures. Deuteronomy 22:2 starts. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house, and it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it, and thou shalt restore it unto him again. Ecclesiastes 7:25. I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. Now this is Solomon speaking here. Ecclesiastes 8:17. Then I beheld all the work of the Yahweh, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. Now, what is Solomon talking about here? He says that a natural man, the carnal man, that's who he's talking about. And I'll put that in there so you'll know it's not talking about the spiritual man that seeks after wisdom. As Solomon did there in 7:25, he said, in Ecclesiastes 7:25, I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of all things and so forth. So he said he applied his heart. But when we apply our heart to seek out and to know, then we will find everything we need to know about anything we want to know about. I want to be an accomplished musician. I am not an accomplished musician, but I want to be. I can play tunes on probably 5 or 6 different instruments. But I'm not accomplished in any of them. Okay. I'm more accomplished on the harmonica, what you play with the mouth, than anything. Yet I don't ever play it at all. And I'm the most accomplished on it. So anyway, it says in Isaiah 58:2, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation. That's talking about the Adventists, the spiritual Israel of the day. That's who he's talking about. They did righteousness. That's talking about Isaiah was talking about the Israelites, the Hebrew Israelites of his day. He said, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation of Israel. They did righteousness at one time and forsook not the ordinance of their Elohim. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching unto Yahweh. Jeremiah 5:1. Run you to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof if you can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. Now you see why Yahweh had to send his son Yahshua there in John chapter 5. He said, right there in John chapter 5, Yahweh said, I'm not your judge. Yahshua said that the Father was not the judge. He said, He has given all judgment unto the Son. And so it says right there in John chapter 5, and I can find it right quick again. It says that in verse 22, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So now, who is Jeremiah talking about here? This is Yahshua speaking through Jeremiah, the Holy Spirit. Run you to and fro through the streets of Yahrushim, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places. There you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. Okay, John 8:37. I know that you are Abraham's seed. He's talking, this is Yahshua talking to the Pharisees. But you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. That's John 8:37. So now, that John chapter 8 would be a good chapter to end on. We just got about 6 minutes to go for our regular sermon. We can always go over, don't hurt anything, but I thought we would start in here. It's a pretty long chapter, John 8, verse 1. Yahshua went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Yahshua stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Yahshua was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Yahshua had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Master. And Yahshua said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, he's not condemning us, folks, for our past sin. If we're willing to confess our sins before him and ask for to cleanse our iniquity and to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, if we're willing to do that, then he'll forgive you right now. If that's what's in your heart. But he's telling you then that go and sin no more. Don't do those things that cause these things to come upon you. And he says, you're free indeed. Okay, John 8:12. Then spake Yahshua again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. And here the Pharisees are always there to condemn him. This is Satan's. These are Satan's emissaries. Says, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Yahshua answered and said unto them, Though I bear a record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You judge after flesh. I judge no man. And yet it says there in John 5:22, the Father hath given a judgment unto the Son. All judgment is given unto the Son. And here Yahshua is telling his Pharisees, I judge no man. In other words, he's saying, I don't judge any natural carnal man that's walking around that's not asking for forgiveness and wants to turn from his sin. I don't judge any of those. Because they're making their record, and then when the end time comes and they don't respond to the forgiveness message, then they have their final judgment, which they have judged themselves. It says in Luke 19, these kind of people judge their own selves. I don't judge them. They judge their own selves. It says out of their own mouth they judge themselves. That's in Luke 19. Right, in John 8:16. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? That's your answer. You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. What did Yahshua mean when he said the Father bears witness of him? In other words, whenever Yahshua spoke something in the Father's name and it came to pass, that was the Father bearing witness to his Son, giving him the power to do divine healing and to forgive iniquity and forgive sin. John 8:20. These words spake Yahshua in the treasury as he taught in the temple. Okay. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Yahshua again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, would he kill himself, because he says, whither I go, you cannot come? And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins, for you. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And said they unto him, who art thou? And Yahshua said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And said Yahshua unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please me. Him. And he spake these words, many believed. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Yahshua unto those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now, he's talking to the Jews here. This is in John 8:31. Then said Yahshua unto those Jews which believed on him. As he was testifying to these Pharisees, there was Jews standing all around. And boy, when they heard his testimony, they believed. And Yahshua says, now, if you'll continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So we're going to continue in his word. Ourself, and we are indeed his disciples. John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Yahshua answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And who was their father? Satan, Lucifer. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Yahshua says unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of Yahweh. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even Yahweh. Now here they are accusing Yahshua of being born of fornication, because Joseph was his stepfather. Yahshua said unto them, if Yahweh were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from Yahweh, not of came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of Yahweh heareth Yahweh's words, you therefore hear them not, because you are not of Yahweh. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Yahshua answered, if I have not a devil, but I honor my father and ye do dishonor me, and I seek not mine own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. And whom makest thou thyself? Yahshua answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is of my Father that honors me, of whom you see, you say, that he is your Father. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Yahshua said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stone to cast at him, but Yahshua hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. This brings in our studies, our contest at the 11th hour call, and it's number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. I found the answer. I was weak and weary, I had gone astray, walking in the darkness, I couldn't find my way. And the light came shining to lead me from despair. All my sins forgiven, now I was free from care. I found the answer, I learned to pray. With faith to guide me, I found the way. The sun is shining for days day. I found the answer, I learned to pray. I was sad and lonely, all my hopes were gone. Days were long and dreary, I couldn't carry on. And I found the courage to keep my head apart. Once again I'm happy, and here's the reason why. I found the answer, I learned to pray. Faith to guide me, I found the way. The sun is shining, what a mystery. I found the answer, I learned to pray. Keep your Bible with you, read it every day. Always count your blessing, and always stop to pray. and they keep believing, and faith will see you through. Seek to know contentment, and it will come to you. I found the answer. I learned to pray. With faith to guide me, I found a way. A sunny, sunny